Welcome to MGO Podcast 10.13. You should probably skip to the end, which has useful recipes. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Underground Printing, the Bow Store, Peak Wealth Management, Homeshare Lending, University of Michigan, Alumni Association, the residents in Ann Arbor downtown, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Human Element, Michigan Law Grad, and Lantana Hummus. And that's our podcast, folks. Tune in next week.
I believe you.
Okay. So now that's when we stop recording. And now we're done with the podcast.
Can I go?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So
can I hit the stop button?
Sure. You're not doing it.
Don't tempt me.
Don't tempt you. that happened.
It did exist in time.
You know, I think the important thing is that everybody had fun and played hard.
Oh, we're starting with this.
What?
Just had fun and played hard. What? I'm not doing that.
I thought it was, they had fun, they played hard.
I don't think they had fun.
Well.
If I had a meter that could gauge someone's effort level, I would be able to tell you if they played hard.
I think we need just to stop going into this game with, expectations of...
Game or just games?
This game in particular. But I think it would be much better for all of our mental well-beings if we just wanted them to have fun and play hard. The victory stuff is, it's overrated. People feel bad. You made them feel bad. They're like, oh, I feel bad because we lost. And that's not a nice thing to do.
I don't know. Ohio State cares about victory and only victory, and look how happy they are right now.
Right. So why don't we just be like the team that facilitates the Ohio State victory so they can feel good?
We already have done that.
Yeah. So why don't we just accept that as, that's our goal, is to make Columbus, Ohio feel as dang good as possible.
They're going to do that anyway. I think maybe we go the opposite direction. No. We just wear scarlet and gray all the time because...
No, I think you know, we should
see if we can, reverse... Engineer the curse.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Michigan,
you can be...
Michigan football, Ohio's buddy. That's good.
I'm trying to picture which colon you're describing.
It's a punctuation mark.
No, that's not what
I got news for you, Brian. They don't want to be our buddy.
No, but that's not up to them. We get to be their buddy.
The guy behind me wanted to kill Ambry Thomas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think buddy is...
Ohio's
buddy.
I'm
probably out for buddy.
Ohio's buddy.
That would make them hate us even more, and then we'd feel even worse when this is over.
No. We would be like, oh, this is cool. We're all coming together. We got one goal, and we can accomplish it together. You guys aren't going for this.
I thought I did a good job coming here this morning. I was early.
Yeah.
Got the equipment set up, and I was kind of like, wow, I might have done most of what I need to do. And then you were like, this is the end of the podcast, and I was so excited.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we just we reshape our minds,
we'll put that on the board of ideas for next year.
We come into the season with a totally different goal. It's a different goal,
but you said
that doesn't mean it's a worse goal.
Can I blame you?
No,
but you told me that we were going to be Iowa, and I believe that we were going to be Iowa.
Why would we be Iowa?
Because you said that.
I didn't say we were going to be Iowa.
Sure, we could check the tape, but I have no desire to go back to that one.
Your preview was we're Iowa.
No, I
accept it.
I predicted a 75-point loss, I think.
I'm sure Iowa's had those.
I feel like the whole, let's try to win stuff isn't going well.
Well, maybe we weren't trying to win. Maybe our goal here was Urban Meyer's redemption.
Oh, because yeah, that's something that really needs to be accomplished.
That seemed like the most important thing that happened yesterday.
Yeah, let's redeem this guy.
Yeah, well, that's the point, right? That
the whole group of people who doesn't give a shit that a woman got beat and your head coach covered up for it get to be happy today. I guess we can't be buddies.
Well, see, now we're in the same place.
You just have to learn how to forgive. As long as he beats Michigan, it's fine.
Yeah. Beat wives, beat Michigan. It's all the same thing.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
No.
All right.
No, we cannot. I guess, whatever, man.
I mean, that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I don't
know. Why do you try to predict things? Why do things make sense? Why
even bother? Like, Michigan has the number one defense in the country, and they gave up 700 yards. Like, what's the point of the time going in a direction?
Sometimes I think about that.
Like, why does time even bother existing?
So that space has a buddy.
Why does cause and effect pretend to matter? I don't know. I don't know these things.
I think we look for patterns, and I think we're missing the big pattern here, which is that if you're rooting for Ohio State, nice things are going to happen to you. And if you're not, bad things are going to happen to you.
Ohio's buddy.
They sparted us, man.
What does that mean?
They spent all season like almost losing.
That's
to
what we
Nebraska.
Do, too.
Almost losing. No, we spent no, all season we, beating everybody yeah, and we, then we, like, we, ran out of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we trounced everybody and looked so good, and they're just like one more play from Piggy, and like they're not even. And so we're still going to North. We're playing Northwestern next week.
I think that's the one that I was like thinking about the most on the drive home. Was like, do I wish Piggy had completed that pass? And I was trying to think about this in depth and be like, "What is that? What I'd really want? Like, do I really want that to have happened, or is this just better?"
Same question. Do you want to go to the Rose Bowl now?
Well, Ohio State might make the playoff, and then...
Yeah, which I don't think they should, by the way, but...
Well, that's a different discussion.
Anyway, if they do, then there's an open spot in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And the best team might be Michigan, and Michigan might get an invitation.
Is anyone going to play? I mean, half the team's going to the NFL anyway. I mean, I'm not taking a stance on that. It's just that's a reality that we come to every year. And now Michigan's kind of at the forefront of that reality. So, I mean, do I want to... watch a team. I went to a Rose Bowl where I watched a team that wished they were in a national championship game play. That wasn't a lot of fun.
We backed into the last two Rose Bowls we've been to, haven't we?
Yeah.
We back into everything. Like, that's what happens.
You should probably get car insurance. Can we get Geico as a sponsor?
to not back into something, you would have to win the last game of the year. So Michigan backs into everything.
Ha! In 98, we outsmarted Ohio State, and we scheduled Hawaii afterwards.
That was actually quite brilliant.
This is what I'm saying.
It was like an extra bowl game, too. The players loved it.
I bet they loved it.
And the Big Ten got so mad about it because we got a free bowl, like, pre-extra bowl game out of it that I think they banned it afterwards.
Did they really?
I got to go back and look.
They made a conference championship game.
Oh.
So now you can't, in case you're in it. Not that that's really a concern.
Right.
Anyway.
We could have been in if James Franklin hadn't called three timeouts on his fourth down to run the dumbest play in his playbook.
We could have been in it if a lot of things happened. Anyway.
Roses.
Should we talk about specifics of what happened, I guess?
That's your call. I will do that. If you were like, you know what, I think this is good for the podcast, I can do that too.
Well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll try to say something somewhat pointy, useful, whatever. Who cares?
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. It's over.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
I grew up in a small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed a lot of great people making a lot of poor financial decisions. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to have my retirement at risk. Over the last 17 years, my team has developed and refined our process, which helps people understand what's important to them and what they value most. And because people don't have pensions anymore, we're adding in multiple income streams during retirement. At Peak Wealth Management, our goal is to build long-lasting relationships, and we do that by building trust, by showing our integrity, and letting them know how much we care. And that's one of the most important things we do here at Peak, is understand your goals and help you get there.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
Myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much, and my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open just to fail. Drunk and I'm feeling down, and I just wanna be alone. I'm pissed 'cause you came around. Why don't you just go home? 'Cause I channeled all your pain, and I can't help you fix yourself. You're making me insane. All I can say is I tear my heart open, I sew myself shut, and my weakness is that I care too much. And the scars remind us that the past is real. I tear my heart open.
So I guess we'll start with the defense, which is unusual for us, but it kind of demands attention. The worst debacle in the history of the game. Michigan had never given up more than 50 points. They gave up 66 and 700 yards of offense. And, you know, just from the first drive where they hit like three drag routes for absurdly easy chunk plays and then a touchdown, it's like, do we not have a plan for this?
Yeah, it was very disconcerting.
Because, you know, they come into this game as like the number one yards after catch team in the country. They've been running these drag routes all year, and you're just watching it, and Michigan's playing man-to-man, and it's not working because you've got Devin Gill out there. You've got Brandon Watson out there. And Ohio State ruthlessly exposed both of those guys. And yeah. Michigan, like, should have probably played this whole game in zone with some man-to-man mix-ups, and that wasn't something Don Brown was going to do. And I kind of get that on the first drive because it's like, all right, we got to be who we are. But then it turns out that Brandon Watson is just not up for this. And, you know, he's a low three-star out of a school that doesn't exist anymore, and he's been getting along with a lot of crafty stuff, but he's just not an athlete who's going to stick with anybody. And one of those crossing routes where I think it was KJ Hill fainted outside and then came back inside and Watson was nowhere in the building was just like, I mean, we can't run this. But they kept running it, and it kept happening.
Well, Watson's a jam specialist, and they're starting him with outside leverage. So, there's no way for him to get any jam on that anyway.
Yeah, but he was also, like, getting beat downfield by Chris Olave. Like, you know, they had that 3rd and 16 after the Meyer penalty, and he's just grabbing him. He gives up the touchdown. Two touchdowns, but the one that was down the sideline where he just gets beat.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been pretty good all year, but I think his, like, the kind of things that we were worried about him as a player that never actually we got to see a lot of.
I mean,
and then the other thing was, I don't know if Michigan touched Dwayne Haskins on a pass all game.
That was the big thing. And this whole defense is built to get pressure and lives off of pressure. You can't leave Brandon Watson in coverage or Gill in coverage that long because they're getting pressure.
And Well, that's just the whole thing that I was thinking of is, like, does it matter if they play? Because my buddy was texting me. He's like, they got to switch the zone. They got to do something different. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I wasn't disagreeing per se. It's just that, like, is there a semblance of coverage that you can attempt to give if you get no pressure? I mean, isn't that just, like, you look even to the NFL and, like, Tom Brady lost a Super Bowl because they couldn't protect him, and he had the most prolific offense in the NFL history at the time. And they scored, like, 10 or 14 points because he just could not set his feet at all. And that's, I mean, that's the name of the game in defense, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know, also this is a guy who's, like, solve your problem with aggression. And I don't think we saw many blitzes at all. And it's tough when, you know, you've got guys out there who you don't think can play. But, I mean, if I've got Devin Gale in the game, I'm going to blitz him just because that means he's not in coverage. He might be doing something useful.
Yeah, I might say, why do you have Devin Gale in the game? But that's probably a different conversation. I mean,
that is a conversation because, you know, James Ross is the bigger recruit. He's the more athletic guy. He's been playing better all year. So why is that guy getting toasted on running back wheel routes?
And you said before, like, maybe Gill's errors are obvious and we can see them and Ross's aren't. And I suppose that could be a thing, but I don't know. I just, when I've seen Ross in the game, he's gotten a couple of, like, holding calls when he's covered a guy. But for the most part, the worst thing that happens is he just rocks somebody.
Yeah.
And in a game like this, I mean, you can at least use that to your advantage in some way.
Dude, the second play that Michigan ran from offense all game, Ohio State ran a AB twist blitz, which is right out of Don Barron's playbook. And Michigan had a, Michigan was running crossing routes. Michigan was running mesh, which was Ohio State's favorite play all game. And Ohio State just wrecked it. They got a sack because they can get upfield that fast. Michigan's got the players to do that, and Michigan had the defense to do that. Don Brown's blitzes were supposed to feature in this game. The trap game was supposed to feature in this game, and it was completely absent, not just on the first drive when we're like, why are you in cover one all day here? All game, it was absent. I don't think I even saw them do a six-man pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably stopped paying close attention earlier than I should have, but I don't remember.
Definitely a mute and hope not to die period of the second half.
But I mean, just I don't remember seeing a time when they went overload or tried to come out of just overwhelmed to whatever extent, because, like, didn't you tweet out something during Oklahoma, West Virginia about the defenses where they said just do really crazy, wacky things because clearly whatever you're doing now is not working?
Just zero blitz the whole game.
I mean, 60-some points? Clearly, I don't know. Blitz the punter. I don't know. Something. Somebody said you should go to field goal block. I mean,
so during the hockey, I get to sit in the ice box during the hockey game. The
ice box?
The ice box. It's like that.
Wait, last night?
No, 2 nights ago.
Okay, I was about to say, you went to the hockey game.
No.
Even
no.
I didn't go to the hockey game last night.
No. I watched Michigan State Rutgers with my eyes half open last night.
Anyway,
during the period breaks, they had that West Virginia game on, and they're like running three-man attacks with eight guys in coverage and still just completely busting it. And we're laughing. We're laughing to each other because, like, haha, we've got Don Brown. We'll never have to exist like that.
All right. Yeah, we get it.
Do you think that, like, Gary and Winovich were just really hurt and couldn't beat anyone one-on-one?
I don't know. I'd say I'd look at it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. No, I know. That's just kind of my... I was like, when was the last time you saw them both get shut down?
Not this year. And the strangest thing is that, you know, Kenny Willekes went off on these guys.
Yep.
And Carter Coughlin went off on this guy. So yep. And I didn't see, like, there was the hold that was early on, I think, Ross.
Yeah.
But I didn't see, like, other instances.
Blatant.
Where I thought, like, oh, that guy's getting held. You got to flag that.
Yeah.
I mean, I see those a lot, and on replay, it's like, not really. And there was just none of that. Like, they just weren't getting anywhere. And, I mean, that, I don't know how you would ever predict that. Because, you know, their offensive line is okay in pass protection, but they run so much short stuff that you don't really know. And then you've watched high-end Big Ten defensive ends just kind of wreck people. And Gary made a couple of plays in the ground game, but they didn't get anywhere near him the whole game.
Was there anything that Ohio State did offensively where you were like, whoa, or, oh man, that's a really good idea, or like just something that you hadn't seen before or surprised you?
No.
They left their running back in more than they usually do. They kind of broke tendency with that to like, and that kind of nerfed Michigan's five-man protections. That wouldn't have helped them if we had brought six guys. And no, but for the most part, they just became pass-blocking gods all of a sudden.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking is like they ran a lot of crossing stuff. They ran a lot with their – they ran a lot of things with their running back out of the backfield, leaking out because that's what they've always done. They didn't really throw downfield to a ton of wide receivers. I mean, they tried a few times and there was a lot of DPI. Right. So all the things that we associate with Ohio State offense and what Urban Meyer's done to Michigan the past couple of years has basically the same thing, except this time it just blatantly worked.
Well, all year they've just been running. They've been trying to run a pro offense, but they've only been running the part where you dink and dunk underneath.
Yeah.
That's not true. I mean, they have a short target depth, but you know they do hit KJ Hill over the top for chunks in most games. Like,
I didn't mean to be so extreme about it, but they did not seem to look until this game like they knew how to run a pro offense.
It's not even...
We couldn't get to the quarterback. This whole defense is based off of getting to the quarterback. And Michigan's great players are up front and can get to the quarterback. They went to a whole bunch of 3-3-5 and stuff.
I think we've had enough of this. I've had enough of this.
There's nothing in what do you think... So I did want to get your opinion on all like the DPI stuff. And is this just them calling a stricter game?
No, I thought that those were very blatant flags that needed to come out.
On both sides.
Yeah, I thought that it was kind of a... I thought the refereeing was good. I didn't really have a problem with it. I don't think anything.
Yeah.
but the calls on both sides, it was just an ugly game because, you know, both sets of defensive backs were just holding the hell out of everybody.
Was it primarily Watson or was it across the board?
It was mostly Watson because that's the guy that they were going after on those plays.
I mean, they threw it long, I think, a couple times.
Long got hit by one, yeah. And that one was a little bit... like, you could maybe see that flag not get thrown, but when it came out, I was like, all right. So.
And then you can go at Hill, that I remember.
I mean, they probably got him brushed off a couple of times, but...
Yeah.
No, the guy who was in the picture but not making a play was almost always Watson.
Fair.
So. Yep. Recruiting matters. And you can hide it for a long time. But then you have a low 3-star.
Did you think that they could have gone to Ambry?
I was thinking that they should have done that at halftime, at the latest.
I mean, at the latest. I was thinking the second half, as soon as Watson got beat the second or third time, it's like, I feel bad pulling this senior in this game, but like, man, if Ambry's faster and he can keep up, that's it.
I don't think it would have... I think it literally would not have been possible for him to be worse.
Yeah. And it probably wouldn't have changed anything if they're not pressuring Haskins, if he's just sitting back there. But
it's true.
So
a difference in a drag route, the difference between being two steps behind him and one step behind him is huge.
True.
One step is 7 yards. Two steps is that.
All right, let's take a break and come back and talk about anything else at all.
We have a lot in common. You rode the bus to Bursley. So did Larry Page. And so did I. And we all love MGO Blog. I'm Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. My entire family went to Michigan State, but I was the smart one finding my way to Ann Arbor to study econ. I've been a financial planner for 17 years, earning the designation Certified Financial Planner, and founded Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth. Oh, you're pretty smart, and you probably have a sweet retirement spreadsheet already. My job is to make sure. As a financial coach, I make sure you're on track, or if you're not on track, I tell you exactly what you're going to need to do. And if you listen, I'll be able to tell you how your future should look, just like the knowledge. And I have cool charts and graphs to tell the story, sort of like the Mathlete. To learn more or schedule time to chat, check out peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Hey, this is Seth from MGoBlog. Like many of you by now, when it was time to refinance my house, I talked to Matt Demarest at HomeSure Lending. Since we had bought only a few years earlier, it was amazing how different the experience was between Matt and our bank. He knows his stuff, gives you and your loan his personal attention, and can shop at the different lenders so you're always a priority. We are constantly getting similar feedback from readers who used HomeSure Lending when buying or refinancing a house in Michigan. He knows the mortgage industry well, which becomes a big deal when your loan is as complicated as mine was. If you haven't met him yet, he's tailgating this year with his HemGo bus at the Charity Beer Garden on 327 Hoover. And if you're buying or refinancing, reach out to HomeSure Lending, NMLS number 1161358.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Isaiah Livers, though.
See, I was going to talk about how Spurs scored 3 goals and they beat Chelsea, and I was just really excited.
This is a Michigan podcast. It's a completely legitimate thing to talk about Isaiah Livers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about Isaiah Livers. Michigan's contest against Chattanooga was a contest only in name. Michigan has an 8-man rotation-ish. It's like Austin Davis for a few minutes a game, and then it's just...
Yeah, he played because he was hurt,
Previous
game, so that's why they only went 7?
Yeah, because I think you do need like a backup actual post.
Yeah.
And getting him involved in up to 10 minutes a game or something is, I think, something that will be useful because there's going to be an auto bench moment for Teske at some point.
Right? Or someone.
So, but Livers is just, he's not a high usage guy, but he's a guy who you can put anywhere from the 5 to the 3, and he'll guard it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of revelatory for the way Michigan is able to play. Because you have Teske, who does look like he's going to be the Mitch McGarry-style, like, elite possession generator center.
Mm-hmm.
And if Eric Pascal's out there, and you're not really feeling Teske on the perimeter trying to check that guy, well, you can just bring in Livers, and it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's very good defensively, and he stays in front of guys. And like you said, he can guard multiple positions. Reminds me a little bit of, like, Sean Marion.
Someone tweeted at me, like, he's kind of got this Isaiah Roby vibe.
He does.
And Roby's a bit bigger, and he's much more of a shot blocker. But, yeah, when Michigan's out there, they're able to switch 1 through 5. And I don't feel like there's many matchups on the floor where Livers is, like, at a huge disadvantage. And that's what Roby gives you. Like, he was getting switched up on Abdur-Rahman last year in the tournament, and Rahman would drive him, and Roby would block him. And Livers isn't doing that, but he's staying in front of just about everybody. So,
well, and this defense is it's a good switching defense with the rest of the other four. You can put any of the other guys. Well, maybe not Z, but you can put.
Well, you can switch 2 through 5 when he's out there, and then
you got some long limb people out there. And as long as you can switch Livers, you can switch everybody else.
Yeah, and then Braz Dyke is kind of coming in as burly as he is. It really helps out there as well because. I was looking at him in high school, and I was like, I'm not really sure how college-ready he's going to be. And then he shows up, and he looks like Ivan Drago, just ripped. And so, he gets Pascal in the first game, and bodies them up and forces them in like a 3-for-13 shooting night from two. So he's able to box guys out and rebound, and we're having that thing again where the point guard gets a ton of rebounds because everybody else is just boxing out. Because
everyone has a man.
Yeah.
So you have Z come flying in like Derek Walton.
And that, I mean, he's not as good as Derek Walton.
Wow.
But like that's happening quite a bit.
He's got to get the Jeremy Gallen rocket boots.
So you're kind of like seeing Michigan play the Villanova Golden State Warriors kind of positionless basketball style. And then they have the flexibility, like when they go play Nick Ward, I don't think you're going to see Livers checking Nick Ward, but you have John Teske who ate him up last year and is a shot alterer, is a rebounder on both ends, and is a really good defensive center in most contexts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it makes sense because that's what John Beilein has said even in interviews and stuff where he's talked about how positionless basketball is kind of the way that the game is going.
Yeah.
And like that's what they're trying to emulate. And like if you start to look at it, like a lot of their players, again, Z and Teske are probably both the extreme ends of the spectrum, but all their other players start to look kind of the same. They're all kind of long, they're all athletic,
yeah.
They're all lanky, and they can, like you said, you can switch a lot of positions.
Well, and they bring in 2 6-7 perimeter guys in next year's class too. So this is clearly kind of what they're going for. Like, as soon as they missed out on Carton, they're like, let's go get another 6'7" guy who can shoot and handle.
Hey, I think you pretty much always sign that guy up.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is kind of the wave of the future, and it's interesting to see because Livers is, you know, it kind of feels like he should get beat up down on the post some, but I mean, if you're going to run post-up offense, that's the worst offense in the world.
But he's thick. I mean, like Zach Irvin was kind of like that, where he could check a guy in the post. And is he probably like a 2 or 3, maybe, but he can also guard the 4 and not get overwhelmed.
Livers is bigger than Irvin, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he is. But then the thing is that if they want to, they can go, like, huge. So they can have Z out there at the point, and then they can have Iggy, Livers and Matthews out there, and that's what happened in the second half of the Providence game, where they're getting beat up on the boards because someone goes to the, I think
they had two guys that got in foul trouble.
And so you've got
Poole,
you got Eli out there kind of trying to rebound, and they're just crashing the boards on them. So then they flop out Eli for Livers, and it's like, oh, that problem was immediately solved. So they have so much flexibility despite being a team that really has a 7-man rotation. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, and he's literally like the first guy off the bench regardless of who you're taking out.
Yeah, and that's and now he's hitting a bunch of shots.
Like, yeah, I mean, if he shoots, like, I mean, you almost kind of can't start him because of what he brings coming off the bench and being able to sub in for anyone. But like him coming in and shooting, and then Brooks coming in and shooting, like the two of them, that just adds almost a completely other layer to this offense.
Yeah, so I mean, they're obviously the number one team in the country in KenPom defense, and that'll.
I'm not taking that.
Well,
they're not thinking about number one defenses right now.
Sure, but they also. Kind of, there's still the preseason projections kind of baked in there.
Yeah.
And those had Michigan like in the 20s or 30s.
For defense.
Because one of the things it looks at is your recruiting rankings.
Okay.
And it also looks at kind of the last few years. So Michigan had the really great year last year.
Yeah.
But like it's not at the Virginia level yet where they've done it for 3 years straight. So now the assumption going forward.
Yeah.
So we're still carrying that APR thing.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, they've been better than their numbers is the thing. They've been better than their KenPom number.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Especially for defense and Michigan basketball. I mean, yeah, okay, we watched it last year and watched some of this the year before at the tail end. But, I mean, you're still having to kind of retrain your brain to, like, think of, oh, yeah, Michigan will just shut them down on defense.
They're that and also the ball handling. You know, you mentioned that they like to get 6-7 ball handlers, but those guys don't always work out for us. In fact, Novembers are filled with, you know, turnovers. I think we're number one also as well in offensive steal percentage. So, like, they're just not – they're not giving up the
as
ball.
As in steals allowed.
Steals allowed, yeah.
Yeah, well, and the one thing that kind of gives me pause is, like, what happens when Michigan meets, like, a really dedicated zone team?
Yeah.
They had those really ugly games early against some tomato cans that were just throwing junk zones at them the whole game. They couldn't really handle that very well. And the Providence game was actually really encouraging in that regard because that's what Providence did. They threw a bunch of 2-3 zone at Michigan until they carved it up. And they carved it up by making passes, not by shooting over it. So,
well, I mean, you put a guy in the middle, and you have to have a guy who can pass there and be able to hit that shot. But then, I mean, that's kind of the key to it. And they had, what was it, this a while ago now, but somebody cut underneath behind the defense for a dunk, right? So you had a, you went to the free throw line, you passed down. Yeah, you hit Teske on the baseline, and he just got in a blind spot behind the center of the zone.
So I have a feeling that they're probably repping the hell out of that in practice.
Like, I hope so.
I think that zone offense is something that they're probably paying way more attention to than anything else right now because, you know, if you look at the potential kryptonites for this team, it's that.
Yep.
So fairly good returns against Providence, and UNC comes up, and UNC lost to Texas. So
yeah, and what does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Does anything mean anything?
No, nothing means anything at all.
That's where I'm at right now. Maybe not tomorrow, but probably still today.
But, I mean, if they can get that UNC game, they're looking at a, like, potential we could be a one seed kind of season. Like,
I mean,
yeah, they beat UNC. There is no roof. Sorry, I had to make that
poll. Caught me off guard. That's good. Brian's less than thrilled with that one.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled.
With anything?
No.
Is there anything else?
I don't know. I mean, you guys got some basketball takes?
Basketball takes? Honestly, I didn't watch a ton of the Chattanooga game. I had it on, and then it was 20 points, and I was like, all right.
I taped it. I looked at it afterwards. I did.
You rewatched it?
Well, I had to go do the podcast on Friday. So
okay.
And then I came
went back and
it. It was tense for a while.
During tip-off?
Well, the KenPom line was 29, so at the end there, it's like, KenPom time, come on. Because they had it. They were up like 36. And then it slipped through their fingers like sand through the hourglass, and they won by only 28, thus missing a KenPom cover and slightly improving our ranking, which would make me feel better when I look at projected win totals at the end of the year.
But they got up to number one in defense.
They've been number one in defense since I think the game after Villanova.
Oh, I thought Virginia kept it for... Well, we had a whole bunch of games before any rankings changed, except for KenPom, so I was kind of not paying attention until that. We got to do that whole tournament ranked number 18, which I thought
I don't
was
even,
fun.
I don't even... Like, the AP poll is such such an anachronism now. I'm like, ooh, what's going on KenPom? Who's ranked where on KenPom?
Can they just advertise games based on KenPom rankings?
Yeah. I'm thinking about putting together an announcer bingo for this year.
Announcer bingo.
So, like, you know, it's got, like, the center square is John Beilein was never an assistant.
Sure.
Talking about Zion Williamson for no apparent reason is on there.
Okay. Oh, but that's, yeah.
Zion Williamson's Twitter account?
Instagram.
Instagram.
What about a highlight of Zion Williamson?
Iggy's hair is on there.
Iggy's hair. His lettuce.
Yeah.
His shorts. Pool shorts.
Charles Matthews, the Kentucky transfer. Definitely on there. Although that doesn't happen that much this year. But they do mention it occasionally.
He started at Kentucky.
Right, yeah. So, but last year, that was like a guaranteed square, the Kentucky transfer. You know Eli Brooks, a replay of the shot against Houston, that's on there too. So
Pool,
yeah. Eli Brooks is going to kill me.
He's made a lot of shots this year, though.
Brooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who people were processing.
Yeah.
Even last year.
You can't write off guys who are first-year Beilein guards. It's just... It's unwise.
Well, we were wondering who's going to be the microwave this year, and like we're looking at all the freshmen, and no, it's Brooks.
I kind of feel like DeJulius might push through at some point, but he's obviously got a ways to go.
He's also got guys in front of him.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brooks is in front of him, you're not going to bring in DeJulius as the three. So.
Well, DeJulius is a more natural point than Brooks, I think.
You can play him off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy who I think is really going to be able to get in the lane and create his own shot very much. And DeJulius can just because he's completely comfortable taking off the dribble threes. So.
Right.
Well, I mean, there might be a role for him. But, I mean, they're keeping the rotation really tight right now.
Which, is that not weird? I feel like for the last, 8 years of Beilein, we're sitting there being like, why is this guy playing? Why are you playing the third walk-on on the bench? And, like, and you look at minutes played, and everybody's played sometime in the first half. And now, like, it's very rare that you get more than three guys.
Off
even
the bench?
Some, yeah.
Well, there is that tendency he has in tournaments. So, like, in the first game of a tournament, he'll play some weird guys. Just to save his guy's legs.
Okay. All right. When you got to play a bunch of back-to-backs.
And our tournament was so lame that, there's Like, it was two games, one of them against George Washington. So there wasn't really any need for that.
Was George Washington already, like falling apart as a program when they invited them? They were, like, a good team a couple of years ago, and then, usually, like, the whole athletic department fell apart.
Usually these things happen about a year in advance, so they just announced the Atlantis field for next year that Michigan is
Which
in.
Which is stacked.
Yeah, it's, like, stacked, and then there's also Southern Miss.
Yeah. Well, at least they've kicked Chaminade out of the Hawaii or the Maui Invitational now. They only play every other year.
Yeah. Oh.
So they weren't in it this year, but they'll play next year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm the athletic director, I'm just trying to get Michigan to New York City every year in a tournament. Like,
or L.A.
Nah, I mean, I guess L.A., but are there really any in L.A.?
I mean, there's, like, stuff in Vegas and...
Yeah.
You think back to the Big Ten tournament, and those were all Michigan home games.
Yeah.
So, like, if you can service the fan base in New York City and give yourself an advantage. And also, those tournaments are usually pretty good. This one was so lame. It's like, ooh, do we get Providence or South Carolina in the final?
Everyone who went said
we already get South Carolina. Yeah. They come in, like, 3 weeks, two weeks.
Everyone who went said it was, like, the weirdest building.
Well, it's a casino.
Right, so it's like this would be like a good place for boxing.
Well, is it
kind of like the Atlantis ballroom?
Yeah, the Atlantis is just like like in a ballroom, and nobody can shoot threes because it's just this strange place.
Because you hit the roof on your jump shot.
I don't know if that is literally true, but it kind of feels
like the chandelier down.
Okay,
that, yeah.
Sorry.
So yeah, it's I hate that tournament.
Well, you'll get to enjoy it next year.
I'm sure going to the Bahamas is fun for.
Should
the
we take an MGO trip to the Bahamas where we all go?
That would be a much better idea than any of
because,
our Big you know Ten
what?
Trips.
Because we're all like, you know what? Let's just like not put any expectations on Ohio State. It's Ohio State week. Yeah. We could all go to the Bahamas instead of doing the Ohio State game, Brian.
I don't like...
Did you see the water slides? Those look sweet.
I don't like water slides.
Well, then you can sit there in your on the beach or something and we'll go on the water
slides.
I don't
like sitting on beaches. I like...
You want to sit in the ballroom and watch the games?
I like being cold.
Madison it is.
I like being cold, Dave. I like the crisp breeze on a fall day. I like to ski. I don't like to sweat. I don't ever want to go to the Bahamas.
Should we go on a skiing trip then for Ohio State week?
It's a little early in the season.
Not for like Colorado or something, right?
Yeah, it is. You don't know anything, Dave Wallace.
Should we talk about skiing? I was the captain of the ski team in high school.
No, let's not.
I could get into skiing. I can get into anything but football right now.
I think we lost Seth.
Well, lost is a little...
Are any of us actually here?
Does time even function?
I'm wearing my scarlet and gray today.
Tune in next week to see if we are still Ohio's buddy. I'm not calling Jamie.
Oh, the segment ended.
Yeah,
Fair.
The segment ended. So that's three segments.
Well, the first...
Do you want to talk about the offense?
No.
You're not going to talk about Michigan State Rutgers?
No.
It ended 14-10.
No, I don't even care who won.
Did it?
No, I would no, I don't want.
Rutgers was ahead.
I'd not know.
Rutgers was ahead 10-7 most of the game. First they were up 7-0 for like a quarter and a half.
Yeah, that's the best shot of the Situation Trophy in a while.
Could happen again.
All right.
You're talking like we're recording this for something that matters.
No, we're not.
All right. Are we going to try to stitch together some fourth thing to talk about, or are we just punting it?
Well, I don't know. It's really up to the ad man.
Can we just call him that?
Yeah. Let's just do four segments. I don't want to have to redo the...
What do you want
to... I have to call everyone when I do that.
Is your online store sluggish, outdated, underperforming? You may be suffering from chronic crappy website disorder. One in three online stores built by your brother's friend's nephew currently suffers from chronic crappy website. But now, there's hope. Introducing Human Element. Huel has helped hundreds suffering from CCW to turn their online stores around, creating fast, secure, and engaging online experiences that turn visitors into customers and put products back at the top of their search engine game.
Before Huel, I had abandoned carts, browser errors, and poorly animated GIFs. Now, with Huel, I can focus on what I'm actually good at, running my business.
Jeffrey, would you be a deer and pull the Ferrari around?
Side effects may include increased traffic, customer conversions, better ROI, compliments, elation, and early retirement.
Why live with the disappointment of chronic crappy website disorder? Speak to your Human Element consultant today to see if Huel is right for you.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Hey, buddy, we gotta have a fourth segment here because that's what tradition demands on the podcast. So, give me your favorite nicknames for zebras.
Zebras.
That's not. That's
yes,
that's,
it is. It's a different pronunciation. That's what British pronunciation is.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, if you turn on Planet Earth and Richard Attenborough's talking at you, he's going zebras.
Yeah, I used to watch a show called Elementary. Well, I guess I do, but it's with Johnny Lee Miller plays Sherlock Holmes, and
I don't know who that is.
That's all right. He's an actor. And see, I know something about film, maybe. So I was watching it, and they were in the case, and he's explaining to his assistant, and he's like, yeah, well, they're missing two zebras. And I had rewinded it about three times.
To figure out what's going on.
And I was like, oh, he's saying zebras, and I was so excited. I don't remember that much of that episode, but I was very excited when he said zebras.
So this is like a legitimate, you have a particular way that you like hearing the word zebra pronounced.
I mean, I think that the way he did it was good, and the way he delivered it, but I'm listening for when someone with a British accent says zebra.
Got any other, like,
they say it with a Z, with an X?
Got any life tips?
I haven't heard that.
Tips. I want, like
Life
hacks.
Tips?
Yeah, like just like
you want my life tips?
Like life hacks.
I think we'll have to edit most of this.
No, don't. I mean, just don't bring it. Just like keep it secular, and we're good.
Like dealing with issues and denying them.
How do you deal with people who stand behind you and want to have 19-year-olds killed?
No, I mean,
I think we have to edit this.
Yeah, let's just, like you know, if you're cooking up some bacon, what I do is I started at like 8.5.
I don't know what 8.5 means.
Well, it goes up to like high, and there's 9. So
the burner.
It's pretty high. The burner's at 8.5. Okay. I have an induction stove,
okay,
which is pretty cool.
It's probably easier to clean.
Yeah, because it's flat.
I think I've put things on that stove before.
Yeah, it's flat, and then you get a lot of precision. So 8.5 is always 8.5, and it's not like a gas stove. You have to go look. You're like, I don't know about this. So 8.5 is 8.5.
Okay.
So I put it on 8.5.
This is bacon?
Bacon. And then that gets it done quickly, but then you got to turn it down to like 5 towards the end so you don't burn anything. So you get uniformly crispy bacon at a particularly rapid pace. That's the kind of life hack I'm looking for, Dave.
See, I don't really like crispy bacon.
What?
I generally like it a little less done.
You like floppy?
A little more. I don't put butter or milk in my scrambled eggs, and I think that they taste fluffier.
Because you don't.
Correct. So when I make scrambled eggs, I just whip the eggs, pour it into a pan, put it on mostly high. People say if you can hear your eggs when you're cooking them, you're doing it wrong. I disagree. You just have to flip them.
You put
them
it
and
on high.
Them. Not quite.
Really?
Yeah, but you pay attention.
That's insane.
And then, I mean, it doesn't take very long.
No.
And you flip them and you're always paying attention to them and playing with the spatula. I don't know the terms for these cooking things, but
spatula?
So then, no, like how you're jabbing at it and you're cutting it and you're flipping it and you're whatever. And so then it doesn't get burned and it doesn't stay runny and they're very fluffy. I really like them. And most people that I've known when they've made scrambled eggs, they always end up runny and I have to drain them and I'm like, this is terrible. And my eggs are not runny and they taste very good. And I eat eggs multiple times a week.
So I did, there's like this thing that you can do where you just do the exact opposite of that, where you just have it
sounds
on
like us
as low as possible and you just stir it for like 20 minutes.
All right, let me ask you something. Do you want to prepare your food for 20 minutes or for 3 minutes?
So sometimes you got to put the time in, but what I'm saying is that the eggs come out in this incredibly strange manner where they're just these like glisteny, fluffy, custardy lumps. And yeah, it's not worth it. I'd rather just cook my eggs.
How often do you like move the eggs in the pan around?
You got to be like stirring constantly.
Right.
It's the most annoying thing in the world.
But I'm kind of doing that too. You wait until you hear them start to sizzle a little bit and then I just start chopping them up and flipping them over and then they're not burned. I mean, if you screw it up, yeah, they're going to get harder or burned. But, like, if you don't, they're really good.
So, I mean, I'm not dissing your egg preparation skills, but that sounds awful to me.
What sounds awful? That it takes about one-third of the time it takes you to make eggs?
No, you're basically just burning your eggs really fast
throwing
them onto a plate.
So you're cooking them. Burning them is something different.
But what I'm saying is that, like, I'm going to have your scrambled egg because I'm curious how these come out.
Okay. Would you like me to come over and make scrambled eggs for you?
No, that's a little...
Okay. Would you like to come over and eat my scrambled eggs?
We're
running out of options here, Brian.
We'll figure something out.
Do you just eat them plain or do you like put anything in them?
I'll usually put pepper on afterwards.
Okay.
You put salt on.
Sometimes.
More pepper. You and I have argued about this before. You oversalt.
What do you mean oversalt?
You don't believe there's a limit on salt, and I do.
I believe there's a limit on salt. I have oversalted things.
when the top has come off and it's just poured?
Well, I mean, people have different salt tolerances. That's why people put salt on a table.
If you eat a little less salt for a little bit, your salt tolerance will plummet, and then you can taste your food a lot better instead of expecting salt all the time.
That might be a life hack.
So the problem here is that my wife...
Right. Is an expert in these matters.
I'm always like, so how did the Gulong potato come to the United States? And she's like, oh, I know this. I'm like, oh, come on.
So I hate to argue with the expert, but like,
yeah,
my own it's life genetic. Is an example. So I don't know. Like, I used to eat a ton of salt, and then I cut down on salt. And
why did you do that?
I don't need to eat as much.
I mean, there's no medical reason.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I've met Emco wife. I'm friends with her. I've eaten a lot of her food.
Yeah.
My question is, why are you cooking?
Well, I mean, it's nice to cook. We have different like things that we do.
She not good at cooking? This is a great segment, by the way.
Meat.
She's not good at cooking meat.
Yeah.
Like what kind of meat? Any kind of meat?
Most meats.
Really?
Yeah. She's like fish. She can do. Like she'll do like.
Do you mean like in barbecuing or you just?
I just mean like she doesn't
general preparation of
meat.
She
doesn't like making meat hot and then serving it like that. That whole process, she's like, I'd prefer not.
Okay, so she prefer. Okay, but is it more she prefer not to or isn't good at it?
Well,
it's okay either one.
I understand this. My wife doesn't like to barbecue because she doesn't want to work the bar. She doesn't want to deal with the barbecue at all. She doesn't want to deal with coals.
Well, yeah, I mean, like all the grilling stuff I do, obviously.
Yeah.
Because
why?
Obvious. This is obvious.
I would like to state the obvious in this situation.
Because it's I'm an American man. You know, I may have long hair. I may drive a Subaru, but God damn it, I do the grilling.
Let's see. What time was that? I need to cut that piece. Okay.
So, yeah. But no, she's a good cook, but there's also stuff like, I do like these fish tacos with tilapia that are pretty good, but I do them. And it's just like a thing that I do. So
I mean, I've eaten stuff that you've made, and it's very good, too.
So step off, buddy.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't turn down. I mean, your friends have a terminology for stuff that your wife cooks.
Yes.
We put her name and then put food afterwards. And
yes.
If that exists in a place, people love it.
Right.
People come from out of town for it.
But also, like, you know, she doesn't
want... She had a bread blog at one point.
I understand that. I'm not...
But you're just like, why are you doing anything? I'm like, well, it is kind of a household task that people often enjoy sharing the duties with.
Okay.
And you're like, I have no idea what that's like.
But see, you enjoy cooking.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay.
You know, I finally found out how many bay leaves you can put in something and have my wife not think it's edible. Which is 10.
10 bay leaves. I do not enjoy cooking, so when I found a way to make scrambled eggs taste good in less than 3 minutes...
Well, the jury's still out on that.
For you.
For, yeah.
I'm not... How many people do you think I feed with my food?
One.
One plus, maybe? There are times a second or third may wander in and I may provide. So if I enjoy the food that I make and it's relatively inexpensive and healthy and I can like do it relatively quickly, that checks pretty much all my boxes.
Yeah, favorite cereal?
My cereals are boring.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you make anything cool?
I like Crispix.
Crispix?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I like Cheerios. And it's a little weird because I'll look into my... When I get a box of each, I'll look into my pantry and one is blue and one is yellow boxes.
What's your specialty? What's your, like, your cooking... is it just eggs? Do you have, like, a thing that, like,
you... I don't think he has a specialty.
I don't have my specialty is, like, if I get enough food that's healthy enough to eat at night.
You eat Hot Pockets?
No.
No.
I try not to eat, like, a ton of processed stuff.
Everything's processed.
Okay, but, like, frozen things and that type of stuff. I try to keep things as fresh as possible and as, like, I don't know. I've started doing that more. My mom's kind of into that, and I feel better. Like, just, like, when I walk around and when I live, I feel better.
Because you're not eating microwaved food?
Because then I'll eat, like, food that I would say isn't so good, like fast food or pizza or things like that, and then I don't feel so good afterwards.
It's true. Fast food does do that to me sometimes.
I literally ate a cold pizza yesterday after the game. I was sitting there just like...
Well, yeah, it's not like I never do, but my one of my goals is if I can put a little bit of healthier things in me, I think that's maybe a nice investment.
My thing is grits.
Grits?
I call it winter grits.
Oh, my God.
Because it's northern grits.
Just makes me think of my cousin Vinny. What is a grit?
Yeah, they're just...
You've never had grits?
Corn.
I went a long time living in Georgia and have successfully made it out not eating
grits.
That's
amazing. Have you had a boiled peanut?
No.
They're terrible.
That sounds awful.
It is awful.
I was 10 and we hadn't moved there yet, but we drove there and my parents stopped to get boiled peanuts and I just thought about it and I was like thinking of the context and like the texture and everything and I was just, no, I don't want to try one.
So I went down to the Georgia-Tennessee game a few years back and I was at a tailgate and they handed me one. And it was
a
like
boiled peanut.
A boiled peanut. And like people gathered around. Like I was on a safari and I had found this indigenous tribe and they were handing me like the ceremonial sheep eyeball to see if I was dumb enough to eat it. And so they gathered around and I ate the boiled peanut and I made a boiled peanut face. And they all went like, yep, he's from the north. And then they dispersed.
Did they then eat a boiled peanut themselves?
Oh, yes.
And did they make said face?
No, they like it.
I guess there are acquired tastes to things.
That's true. I just, wow. Wow.
So all my cooking comes from, like, that period at the end of college where I just had absolutely no money. And my buddy and I were trying to figure out how to, like, subsist until college was done and we could, like, actually start making money instead of just draining our bank accounts that were already, you know, artificially inflated. So
it sounds like it's about to be depressing.
So the things I make are grits, MacGyver spaghetti. MacGyver spaghetti is, you take a little bit of peanut butter. You don't have to use a lot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You cook it in there, and the peanut oil turns it into a, I don't know, the sauce connects to the noodles much better. You knock it now, but if you try it,
I will not try that.
It's amazing.
There's nothing that I will ever try.
Would you rather have my 4-minute eggs?
Yes.
You're missing out. And grits, anyway, grits are the cheapest way you can possibly live, we discovered. Grits and cucumbers.
Probably if you can...
Cucumbers?
Cucumbers are good.
Cucumbers were really cheap back then.
I know, but cucumbers don't have any caloric value. You could eat a cucumber, and chewing takes more calories than the cucumber will give you.
So it's a good way to lose weight? It's just to eat cucumbers?
Yes. Nonstop. As fast as you can. That's my diet tip. That's my diet life hack.
Life hack. We have one from Brian.
All right. So this is the, I got a recipe you should try. It's stupid, but it's good.
Or so, sign me up for something stupid. I've already done that this week.
So tilapia. You just get like, you know, a bag of tilapia from Trader Joe's and then you cook the hell out of it. You, because the best part of the tilapia is always like the crispy bit at the edge, right? So the goal of this recipe is to have it all be crispy bit at the edge. So you cook it until you can break it up. You break it up into like little ground beef, basically, like it's like baking ground beef, and then you just put it flat in a nonstick thing and then press down on it until it's brown all over the place and it's all of it is crispy. And then the trick is, you know how you do pot stickers where you just kind of throw in some broth? So you get some chicken broth and you throw it in there and you cover it and you kind of reconstitute it so it's not all completely dry, and then you put that in tacos and it's great. So that, I think that's our segment.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah,
you don't want to talk about U.S. soccer.
Dave, come on, man.
The World Cup is at Killington, Vermont right now if you want to talk about skiing.
No, we're done with this podcast.
Thank you for listening to the MGO podcast. This is David Nasternak, along with Seth Fisher and Brian Cook. At least we talked about basketball.
Who's got it better than us?